Your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We've been talking again last week about Bible doctrine. And, Bible doctrine. We talked about the doctrine of God, the existence of God. That's one thing that's attacked, and we talked about science, falsely so-called, and the way they want to try to build a hiding place from God and pretend like there is no God. And I want to talk about a doctrine that's not often listed when we think about doctrine, but the doctrine I want to talk about today is the authority of God's Word. I mean, that's not an accepted Bible doctrine in most churches anymore. But it is a very important doctrine. It's right up there with the existence of God. So the authority of God's Word. And that's attacked constantly. I mean, honestly, if there is no God, there's no sense going to church. I mean, if there is no authority of God's Word, there's really no sense in going to church. You might as well stay home and watch the Stupid Bowl, amen? But and that's some people's God. They'd rather watch the Chiefs and the Indians. I can't believe they still call them the Chiefs, right? Isn't that illegal? They can't be the Redskins, but they can be the Chiefs. Well, they can be Chiefs. They just can't be Redskins. But the authority of God's Word is attacked constantly. In John 17:17, the Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we know God's Word is truth. Everybody's always looking for truth. Science is talking about truth, and science has very little truth. So, well, science proves the Bible. No, the Bible proves true science. If it doesn't match up with the Bible, it's wrong, and man will figure it out sooner or later. It's just like a monkey baloney. We didn't come from monkeys, and if we did, the smart monkeys decided not to turn into us, right? John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So the authority of God's Word, what about, God's Word is truth. If you want to find truth, you're going to find it in a copy of the Word of God. And it also is spirit and life. Now, I take it a little further than some people might feel comfortable with, but I believe that you can't get saved. If there wasn't a King James Bible, you'd burn in hell. That's what I believe. I believe that. I believe that it's the authority of the Scripture. Now, do I believe that you have to understand everything about the Bible to get to heaven? You have to understand the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ. But I believe if God's Word didn't exist, I believe we wouldn't exist. If God lost His Word, I think everything would just fly apart. Everything's held together and held in check by God's Word. The authority of God's Word is important because it contains and is truth. It is spirit and it is life. So if you're thinking about, well, it doesn't really matter. I've heard an evangelist one time, a long time ago, he came into a church and it was a King James Bible church. I don't know what they really believed. They used the King James Bible. But I was standing right beside the guy when he said, "You guys are King James church?" And he said, "Yeah." Good, I brought my parallel Bible. I'm like, oh, brother, here we go. I'm hoping maybe it was the Textus Receptus on one side and the King James, but it wasn't. It was like an NIV King James combination. But that's like saying I've got my parallel soft drink, and one side's got battery acid in it, and the other side's got, wait a minute, Coca-Cola's about like battery acid. But anyway, not only is it important to understand the authority of God's Word, you have to understand the importance because it is truth, it is spirit, it is life. If you've got the wrong word, you're going to be following the wrong spirit. And when he says it's life, everybody's looking for answers. Everybody's looking for meaning. Everybody's looking for purpose. You want to find the purpose of life, you're going to find it in the Bible. But it's also life because it gives life. It's remember, the second Adam is a quickening spirit. He's a life-giving spirit. He is the Word of God. Jesus Christ. John 17:17, it's truth. John 6:63, it's spirit and it's life. And if you want to be on the right track spiritually, you're going to have to do it with the right word. And the Bible warns about following another gospel, another Jesus, and another spirit. Well, if the Bible, if the Word of God is spirit and it is life, then you want to make sure you got the right word. In Genesis chapter 3 is the first time we know that the authority of God was challenged in the garden. And what did the devil say? Yea, hath God said. So the first thing the devil wanted to get Eve to do was to question God's word. Did God say this? And Eve, being a independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, didn't know exactly what the Word of God said, right? She said, well, he said we can't eat it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. So she didn't know exactly what it said. Adam knew exactly what it said, but he attacked Eve. Eve didn't know exactly what it said. That's probably Adam's fault, right? I mean, you say, jokingly, but at that point, after that, Adam was definitely the authority with Eve, over Eve. But she said you shouldn't eat it, neither should you touch it, lest you die. And the devil said, oh, that's fine. You can add to it if you want. Doesn't bother the devil. Right? Now, God, if he would have been walking with him at that particular time, he said, that's not what I said. The devil, that's fine. Add to it. He said, then he shall not surely die. So, as soon as he found out she didn't know exactly what the Word of God was, he knew he had her. Right? What do you think the devil's doing today in the United States of America and most of the churches? He's got them. They have no idea what the Word of God says. So he's got them. He's got them believing that God is love, 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 and that's all he is. He's no judgment. He's got them to believe in that. And he's got them out there, and he's got them. And, you know, I understand the battle. I mean, good night, you get your teeth kicked in trying to preach the truth. I understand that. But they've come to the point where they're flying the rainbow flags out in front of their churches, so-called churches, and, I don't know if they've got a trans flag now or what, or whatever kind of wicked stuff they've got going on, but they just put it out there because they don't really understand the Bible. If you don't understand the Bible, you don't understand who God is. And the reason people usually ditch the Bible is they don't like to know who they are. I mean, the Bible will show you you're wicked. It'll show you, it'll remind you every time you open it that you really should be burning in hell. It'll also tell you when you're doing right. That's usually a lot less than, I mean, we struggle, right? But the authority of the Word of God, and most people don't even understand what it says, like Eve, she doesn't understand exactly what it says. Yea, hath God said, and ye shall not surely die. If you don't know exactly what it says, then the devil comes along and say, well, Calvinism says this. And they'll take a verse out of context here, and a verse out of context here, and a verse out of context here, and say, see, you should be a Calvinist. Okay, so then you got Baptist churches that are deciding to be Calvinists. God picks and chooses who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. A matter of fact, like we said before, if you're a full-blown Calvinist, basically you're blaming God for sin. Because God's in complete control, and it's all up to him. But that's not the way it is. God let man keep their free will, and even after salvation, you still have free will. So people say, well, how could God do this? How could God do that? Why would he cause this? Why would he cause that? Well, this place is a sin-cursed mess. That's like filling a dumpster full of trash, lighting it on fire, and then blaming Rumpke or whatever, whoever it is that picked the trash up. Well, they supplied a perfectly good container, and you filled it full of trash and lit it on fire. You can't blame them for it. Amen? So he came to Eve, got her to question the Word of God, and then he lied about the Word of God. He said, oh, you're not going to die. Don't worry about that. And that's kind of what's going on today, because people don't understand the Word of God. They'll say, well, I've done this for a long time and got away with it, so it's never going to catch up with me. Well, first of all, if you're lost, it's going to catch up with you at the white throne judgment. If you're saved, it'll catch up with you either in a chastening of God's hand, or he will sometimes allow people just to go off course for years and years and years to their own destruction. You know, and that's just the way it is. And if you read the Bible, you understand those things. So the authority of the Word of God is, you go back 60, 70, 80 years ago, that was an accepted truth for most churches. Now it's an accepted truth for very few churches. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, even preachers, well, it's not the Bible, it's the precept, it's the principle of the Bible. Well, if you don't have a Bible, and you don't know what it says, how would you even figure out what the principles and precepts are? You know, so they go to school, and the school tells them what to think, and then they believe what the school tells them, and they teach what the school tells them, and they just pretty much cut the Bible out. That's why there's no uniformity and unity in churches anymore. That's why, you know, the Southern Baptists, when people started coming out of the Southern Baptist churches, you know, J. Frank Norris, different ones, Roloff and all those guys, and they started coming out of the Southern Baptist churches because they left the authority of the Word of God, and they started just believing what the association said. And they were under the authority of the association instead of the Bible, so they said, we can't have this. That's why we have independent Baptist churches here. Now, the independent Baptist church, there's still a spiritual pressure to believe what everybody else believes, or you're an outcast. But the Bible, you got a relationship with Jesus Christ and a relationship with the Bible. You don't have to believe what anybody else believes. You need to believe the Bible. Thankfully, a lot of the independent Baptist churches are about 90% on board. Bible-believing churches are about 90% on board with what the Bible preaches and teaches. You can read out of the Bible. But the Baptists as a whole have left the authority of the Word of God. And it's just a mess. So the authority of the Word of God is important. In Genesis 3, like I said, is where it was attacked first that we could see in the Bible, where the devil attacked it. Look at Isaiah chapter 66. Now, I could probably say, does anybody know of a church where they don't want you to have the authority of the Bible at all, and they don't want you to read the Bible, and they've historically taught to not read the Bible, and the church would tell you what to think? I mean, everybody in here would know who I was talking about. But that's pretty much all the churches now. That's a lot of the churches, a big majority of the churches. Let's read Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So that right there tells us, remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God's word will lead to fear for a lost man. Right? He'll fear hell. He'll fear God's judgment. For a saved man, if you're in or out of God's, if you're out of God's will, it'll make you fear chastening. But trembleth at my word. That's somebody that takes God's word seriously. And I know, I guarantee you that if every church in this county listened to this Sunday school today, 90% of them would say I was a heretic. There's something wrong with that guy. He's a legalist. There's something wrong with him. He shows no grace. He has no love. And the truth is, if I didn't love you, I'd tell you, hey, God is love. Don't worry about anything. Just do what you want to do. And you'd stand at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved, and all your works would be burned up. You'd have absolutely nothing to take into eternity with you. And if you were lost, you'd burn in hell, because I told you it was all about your checkbook and finances, and it was all about love. And I really don't care what anybody else thinks. I care. I've got to stand for Jesus Christ. But I want you to have that same attitude. I don't want to be mean and beat everybody up all the time, but you've got to have the attitude where it's between you and the Lord. One of these days, you're going to stand before the Lord, and it'll be you and Him. And you know what you're going to be accountable for? There is a God and the authority of His Word, and whether or not you submitted to it. So God's Word, He's looking for somebody that takes His Word seriously. He was talking about that in Isaiah. And if you remember in Isaiah 66 books, It's a small type of a Bible. The Bible has 66 books. And, you know, the first, anybody remember how many books in the Old Testament? 39. It equals 12. 3 plus 9, 12. 12 is the number of Jews. So the Old Testament. 39, first 39 books of Isaiah match up the Old Testament. Anybody remember the New Testament? 27. It's 9, fruitfulness. It's the New Testament. So the last 27 match up with the New Testament. And here we are in the last chapter, which would match up with Revelation. You know what he's looking for? Somebody that trembles at his word. Because we're in Laodicea, and God's word is one of the least important things to most people, even saved people. It's one of the least important things. And honestly, even us that believe it and read it and preach it, teach it, try to rightly divide it, we don't put the importance on it we should. I heard Brother Ruckman years ago say that if I didn't believe that book, I wasn't saved, I'd just hire out to the mafia as a hitman. He said, why not? And that's pretty much what the world does. They make up their own rules, and they live like they want to live, and it's just turned into a vulgar trash can out there. I mean, it's just a mess. I really believe that the Lord could come back any second. And that's fine with me if he come back right now. And that'd be really good. But this place has got to be as bad or worse than it was in the day of Noah. And this place is actually more like Sodom. Well, I know the day of Noah is probably like that too, but I mean, here we are in this big mess. And the reason is, nobody wants the authority of God's word. So Isaiah 66, God's looking for somebody that trembles at his word, somebody that takes it seriously. So what, if somebody's attacking God's word, what are they really doing? Look at John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So somebody, that's the Word of God. If somebody's attacking God's Word and God's authority, they're attacking Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's the whole thing we talked about with Israel over there. Well, you know, they hate the Jews. Well, there's one Jew that they really hate more than anybody. They hate the fact that the Jews have the Savior of the world out of their lineage. They hate the fact that the Jews are going to be ruled and reigned over by the Savior of the world. This world is going to be ruled and reigned over for 1,000 years physically on this earth with a rod of iron by Jesus Christ. Well, it's about the land. They want the land. The Palestinians just want their land. Well, the Palestinians don't even exist. I mean, Palestine existed. Those Palestinians are a bunch of people hodgepodge from all over the place. They don't have any claim to that land. They don't care about that land. They just want to wipe out the Jews. And ultimately, they think that if they could wipe out all the Jews, apparently they think that Jesus Christ isn't going to come back and rule and reign or something. But he will be back. He will be back. I'd say we're about 7 years out from that, pretty close to that, from him coming back to rule and reign. But the attack on the Word of God is really an attack on Jesus Christ. As we just seen, he is the Word. Remember the authority of the Bible, the authority of God's Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He did it, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke these things into existence. How did he do it? Well, it says Jesus Christ is a creator. It tells us that in John 1. It talks about that in Hebrews. So he's the creator. He used his word to create. He's going to use his word to judge. You remember when he comes back with a sword. And that sword coming out of his mouth, it's his word. His sword. His word is going to judge. And we've got a bunch of bozos running around that claim to be Bible believers that say, well, they're looking forward to coming back and killing everybody. Yay! Well, first of all, that's the wrong attitude. It's not our time to fight that way. Our fight is a spiritual fight. Ephesians chapter 6, we need to put on the whole armor of God and try to get people saved. I mean, we're not looking to kill people. We're looking to save people from the jaws of the lion, right? The wrong lion. And get them on the right side of the line of the tribe of Judah. And you come back with Jesus Christ, he's not going to need your help then either. He's going to defeat the enemy with his word. You know, there's people on the internet, they're selling patches about coming back to kill people and all this stuff, and they make a big deal out about it. I think that guy's got probably 20 followers or something. He's real careful about it. I mean, he trashed everybody in the world and every other preacher in the world, but he's real careful about the 12 or 15 people that are following him. We don't want to offend them. So see, everybody's got to be careful. But Jesus Christ told Peter, put his sword away. It's not time to fight physically. We're not supposed to be looking forward to coming back and killing people. We're supposed to be looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back and getting us out of this dump. But in the meantime, we're here for a purpose, and that purpose is to give people the truth. And if you're here today and you believe the Bible, and you believe that it's important to give people the Word of God, you're one of the very few people left that believe that. But don't change. Double down on that, amen? It's the Bible. Don't let the devil take the Bible from you. So, you know, our purpose is not to overthrow the government. I like having rights. I'm glad we have Second Amendment rights. And there are days when it would probably not be a better day for them to come take my guns than others, but I don't want them to take my Bible. But see, they don't have to take your Bible. The devil's already done that. Because most people have more dust on their Bible than they do on their barn floor. So the devil's already taken the Bibles, and people still have them. He's just taking people's trust in it and faith in it and got you to believe, got a lot of folks to believe that psychology, philosophy has crept into the church and taken over, and that's what's important is how people feel and that they have a happy life. Well, you know, it'd be great if God taught that in his Bible, that everybody's supposed to have a happy life, nothing ever go wrong, and that's just the way it is. But that's not what happened to any of his disciples. Anybody that's truly following Jesus is going to find out this is a war. Amen. But the Word of God, if the devil can get you away from believing the authority of the Word of God, he can do two things. He can get you to quit following it, and he can totally destroy you, because you have no hope without God's Word. You really don't. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Well, let's look at 11 and 12. This is what it boils down to. Let's look at 12 and 13. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So right there is the reason people don't want the Bible. It's quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. The Word of God is more powerful than anything man can make. I don't care if it's an atomic bomb or any nuclear weapon they can make. The Word of God is more powerful. Matter of fact, I don't give credit to the nuclear warfare for ending this earth. I give credit to the Lord. The Lord's going to end this place. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's going to fight the battle of Gog and Magog, destroy the people that go against the beloved city and all that. And he's going to call down fire. Fire's going to come down from heaven and devour this place. Fire's not coming from Iraq to devour this place. Or Iran to devour this place. Fire's coming down from heaven to devour this place. So this Armageddon stuff, you got to be careful mixing the TV and the Bible. Because the TV will tell you, well, you know, there's going to be a meteor that does this, and there's going to be a nuclear war that ends everything. This whole place is just going to turn inside out and everything. Well, the Bible says fire's going to come down from heaven and devour those folks that are on the earth, and then Jesus Christ is going to destroy this place. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't believe it's going to be a nuclear war. Now, will there be nuclear wars between now and then? Probably. But they can let off all their nuclear stuff they want. You can go home and run everything that you have as gasoline and just keep filling it, run it 24/7. You can burn all your plastic bags. I'm not telling you you should, But I'm telling you, if you do, you're not going to destroy this world. How do I know? Because God says it's in store for the day of judgment, and He's going to destroy it. So unless God's like a man and He's a liar, you can't destroy it. So look at verse 13 again. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So right there is what man hates about the Word of God. It says everything, any creature. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Remember when Jesus Christ walked around talking to the Pharisees? You and I, we look at the Pharisees, or the folks that were walking around, the religious folks that were walking around looking at the Pharisees, they saw the cleaned up outside. You know what the Word of God's seen? He saw the inside. You know what He sees of every creature? The inside. And you know what that book does? It will show you your inside. You can't hide from yourself in the Bible. And you can't hide from the truth in the Bible. So people say, get rid of the Bible. They don't care if you have a Quran. They don't care if you have Hindu stuff. Matter of fact, if you look at the history of Quran and who the Muhammad was and his, that would be the last book you'd want to have. But the world's fine with that. They're fine with that. And they don't want you to, they want God, I don't care one way or the other about the Pledge of Allegiance. I care less about that. I mean, I'm a Bible-believing, saved man. I could, this country's not going to be here forever. I'm going to live forever because of Jesus Christ. This place is going to the dogs, man. And I'm not anti-American. I don't hate America. But if they take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, whatever. The Bible should be in school. It should be. Well, that you can't do that because they'll fight you tooth and nail over the Word of God because it aggravates people. But they'll let the peaceful Muslims have prayer rugs and prayer time, and right? So what's happening? The devil's got this thing flipped upside down. How do you do it? Because people give up their trust in the Word of God. If you believe that book, there's no way you're going to go the way of this world. Not just say, if you believe it, and you read it, and you're praying about it, and you're trying to live it, there's no way the devil's going to bamboozle you, and you're going to start thinking, wow, the Sodomites must be okay. We must go with them. There's no way you're going to start thinking, wow, maybe the peaceful Muslims, maybe we should buddy up with them. And honestly, there's no way you're going to look at half the Baptists and say, yeah, we can fellowship with them. Amen. So I'm telling you, I kick the Baptists too because they've lost their mind. When you leave that book, it's over. What you want to call Christianity is no longer Christianity. You end up with this Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Southern Baptist Convention garbage. Jesus Christ is our rock, and if you want to know Him, you're going to know the Bible. You notice that people that, have you ever talked to people that say they're saved that don't know any Bible, and they want to talk to you about Jesus, and you start talking to them, and like, where'd you get that Jesus? You ever heard that? Now look, I understand we can't know Him with this little mind of ours, and our heart's so goofed up that we can't know Him the way He really is, but we will one day. We're going to see Him face to face one day. I understand ain't none of us can go, Jesus Christ 100% this. You might not know what it is, but you sure know what it ain't. And Jesus Christ is not running around with Donald Trump slinging a rainbow flag. Amen. And He's not running for popular office. He's going to take an office. He's going to take it by force. Right? So He's not going to change the truth so you'll vote for Him. Amen. Which is what all the others do. He's going to come in with take that by force from the devil. He's going to rule for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. You talk about authority. That book's our authority. Now, whether or not you submit to it is another thing. But you got to believe it first. If the devil can get you to not believe it, then why would you submit to it? You'd submit to Oprah or Dr. Phil or what somebody else thinks or feels. you submit to your feelings. Could you imagine if everybody submitted to their feelings all the time? Oh, good night. It'd be a bloodbath out there. Because honestly, you ever felt like, I'm not just like slapping somebody. You ever felt like running somebody off the road? I shouldn't record this because everybody said too many yeahs going on. I mean, we get upset. We're people. We're not God. We don't judge righteously. We have a bad day, and everything's against us. And then when somebody does something, whether it's intentional or not, it's like, oh. Was that vengeance is mine or vengeance is fine? What did he say? Amen. But the truth is, God's going to fix it all. He's going to fix it all. He's going to take care of it. He's the one that's in authority. He's the one that should be authority. And I understand Jesus Christ, King of Kings, will come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years physically on the throne of David. The increase of his government, there'll be no end. After that kingdom, there's an everlasting kingdom that goes on. David will be on the throne again. I understand all that. But he should be the king of our lives right now. If you think about the way they went to the kings in the Old Testament, they went, first of all, they didn't go without permission to go in front of him, and they prepared to go before the king. Are you preparing to go before the king? I mean, if they weren't prepared to go before the king, show up in their rags telling the king what to do. They got cleaned up and went before the king, and then they were prepared to stand before him. Well, how are you going to get cleaned up? Under the authority of the Word of God, Ephesians chapter number 5. The washing of water by the Word, like Jesus Christ in the church compared to the husband and the wife. Washing of water by the Word, the bride. So are you prepared to stand before the king? Because after you get off your face before the king, you will stand before him. Amen? And your standing is based on what you do with this, the authority of God's Word.